this Miami crowd does not look like 1,000. It doesn't even look like 100. I mean, I went to a Red Bulls tube match a couple years ago. There were more fans at that match than there were in Miami.
Welcome, Sacramento soccer fans, to another episode of the State of the Republic podcast. I'm your host, Luis, and today it is a happy Sunday, y'all. We finally got our first win of the season coming in through in the second week of the USL season against Miami, 1-0 at Miami. We know it's never easy to play in Florida, especially with that humidity that they have. And so hats off to the team for putting up with that and still giving them a game. I mean, it looked like we were playing at home if the weather was any different and more people in the stands too, right? Which I'll talk a little bit more about that. But before we get to that, let me go ahead and introduce our team that we have here today. And we have a special guest joining us here. And you guys know I like to introduce our special guests first before our team members here. You've heard him here before on an episode last season. He's the stats guy. He's going to be talking a little bit more about what he has going on later on in the podcast. But Rian from All Is Quill blog, how's it going, man? Welcome back.
I'm good. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to this 2024 season, and I'm happy to share all my stats and content with y'all.
Yeah, and if you guys don't already know too, if you go on the Sacramento Soccer Fans Facebook group, he actually shared it a few weeks back here as well, and I'm sure he'll share it back now that we're recording this, and so check it out. It's really awesome. It's on a Google Sheets, so pretty convenient for anyone, whether you have a Gmail or not. That's the easiest place to access documents. But Sharon and Jared are also joining us as usual here. I went to Elk Grove in the last episode first, so let's now go over to Avondale with Jared. How's it going, man?
Doing excellent. The weather's gotten better over the past couple of days, and at the time of recording, it's St. Patrick's Day, and of course, I do have my green on, even though I'm staying Indomitable, of course. So, great weekend. Had some questions as far as Miami goes this past weekend, but you know, we'll dive into it. And speaking of green, I see Sharon's got some green of her own.
Yeah, and it's not the cash kind. It's not like I was throwing dollars around. Come on, guys. No, once a year, I bring out the Ireland national team jacket from years ago. I mean, this is super old. Umbro, the sponsor. So I bring this out one day a year. It goes on. It's probably not the cleanest in the world. But of course, when you only have to wear it once a year, it's good. So yeah, green. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Rian, it's so cool to have you back on the pod, man. And you know what? Just like Kelly Clarkson, I'm liking your post right now. No, actually, I was going to pin it to, I want to pin it to, you know, the top of the thing. So it's going to be there. People are going to look for it because you can do that with posts. So I'm going to hide in the background while Luis tells us how he's doing and what a wonderful weekend he's had. And then we'll move on. But I'm going to go right now. So if you see me with my head down, I'm going to go find that post and I'm going to pin it.
Yeah, no, weekend has been good. Now, Republic got the win, 1-0. That was awesome. But simultaneously, and it had to happen again, Cruz Azul was playing at the same time, right? Go figure, right? Of course, it's got to like coincide with the game. But Cruz Azul ended up losing 2-1 against a team that I think they really should have beaten and all that. But it looks like we're still going to be on track for a good playoff run at least. But still, you know, it's one of those things. You want to see both your teams win, but hey, they didn't get the win. So could have been a great weekend, but still, it was nice to see Republic get the first win. I mean, I gave them a 2-2 tie in our podcast winter dinner, and you know what? They proved me wrong, which I'm always glad whenever I am wrong, especially when I predict the tie or even us losing, just like I'm sure we all are here on the podcast. So yeah, that was that. Of course, we got the news of the watch party happening at Sky River for the game against Indy happening next Saturday. And according to the commentators yesterday on the broadcast, it seems like the first 32 people to get there will be getting a free appetizer. I don't know if there's any limit to that. It's got to be a certain amount, what, but you're getting something if you get there. If you happen to be one of the first 32. So if you guys are in the area, go check it out. I know Sharon will probably for But you know what? Trent will be for sure one of the first 32. She'll probably be the first one there, which hopefully they gave you an extra prize for for being there. And I'm sure more people will go, right? Elk Grove has a lot of Sacramento fans. A lot of our listeners are from Elk Grove as well. So perfect place.
I'm sleeping
perfect
there.
Venue.
I'm sleeping there the night before so that all day long I can just tick, tick, tick. Actually, I'll just show up at 9 a.m. and just stay. What do you think? No, I can't.
Oh, that can get dangerous.
She's going to do the whole Mervyn's commercial thing. Open, 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 open.
Well, I think there are 24-hour bistro, if I'm not mistaken, you know, because the casino is 24 hours. So I could be there. Who knows? Who's going to know where I'm going to be? But I'll be there. And there's going to be a surprise. I'm not going to talk about it here because we've talked about it behind the scenes. But my sister knows, and it's what I'm wearing. And it's not what I want to wear, but...
Oh, okay. I think we've talked about it here before.
Jared, don't you look at who our opponent is. Who's our opponent?
You'll have to forgive me from I'm still recovering from yesterday's event, so I'll just leave it at that.
Our opponent on Saturday is Indy 11. Anyhow, moving on.
Yeah.
Can you get the microphone back, Luis? I've been hogging it.
Yeah, no, all good. Actually, I'm going to pass it back to you because we're moving on to Golos of Gratitude, which is your segment. So here you go. Back to you.
Hey, everybody. It's time for Golos of Gratitude, where we take a minute and sound off our gratitude for something that's happened in our lives or something about soccer. It's an open field. Golos of Gratitude. Here we go. And after that introduction, I'd like to go right over, throw the mic to Rian for your Golos of Gratitude.
Yeah. So I just want to thank y'all for having me on this podcast again. It's great to be back on here talking Sacramento soccer. Another Golazo I have is to the team, you know, for pulling off a win against Miami, especially to Danny Vidiello, you know, for his efforts and for ringing the bell when he was called upon, especially right before halftime. And another Golazo goes out to a couple of my friends who are just great people to like bounce ideas off of for all my content. Shout out to Eli and Mar. Just want to give them a quick shout out. And also shout out to Celtic, who is the jersey I'm repping today for St. Patrick's Day. Yeah, great jersey. I love it. Yeah, those are my Golazos.
Well, that's really cool. Thank you. Jared, how about you? You go next. I'll go last today.
Well, I definitely have a few Golazos of gratitude. Specifically to the Circle K on 15th Avenue and McDowell these past couple weeks. They've been keeping me caffeinated, keeping me with a little bit of snack every morning, which is direly needed for this temporary job that I have. So definitely grateful for that. And those of you that might have seen the picture comparison involving Circle K, that's a mystery solved for us. Also, I want to give a big Lazo's gratitude out to Rian, who was able to get in the schedule to appear with us today. I mean, he's one of our favorite numbers guys without being a numbers guy. we're definitely going to love his stat work. I mean, we've had it once before, so great to have it back out here again. Also, shout out to John Crawford for keeping us up to date on the recent Huddersfield Town match. I mean, they didn't lose, but they didn't win either. So that's not really helping much matters. Also, big glasses of gratitude going out to, you know, the social media team for Republic FC for keeping us up to date. I know I've heard folks say that there was some broadcasting issues with the match. What else is new? They still work on getting the match, you know, updated to us. So even for us that are far away, we were still able to keep a hold of it. So thank you very much for all that. And of course, we've got one more person to take the Golazo handle.
Well, I'm going to pop to Luis. Yeah. And then I'll take the microphone back. So we're going to hear from Luis on his GGs. And then pretty much I'm going to say ditto, but I have one more. Okay, Luis, what are yours?
Okay, so real quick here, I got a Golos of Gratitude out to Michael and John for recording. Really cool. We're soccer fans. And you guys will see them there. But I got to mention, Michael is from Chico. He does the drive from Chico to watch Sac Republic play. And that's about like 20 minutes more than what I drive coming from Modesto. So shout out to him and to anyone here listening to us now that does the whole adventure to make it out to games. If you drive 30 minutes or more, that's dedication to actually, you know, be out on the road for so long to make it out to games. And I learned there's a lot of fans that do that too. I haven't met more from my general area here, but I've actually seen cars with Sac Republic on them too. Actually, the other day I saw a truck that had a Sac Republic license plate around it too. Wish I knew who they were, but they drove off and I couldn't even honk or like say something. But it's really nice to see more people in the area supporting the team. And so let's see more of that, more people driving those distances to actually see the team. And that was actually the one that Michael had for his We're Soccer Fans segment, which now that I mentioned that, for anyone listening right now too, if you want to record a We're Soccer Fans video segment, feel free to send it to us on our Instagram or Facebook. Instagram, I think, tends to load it a little quicker too. Just a heads up, when you send it on Instagram, it might ask us for our approval to actually initiate the conversation. That's what happened to Michael there as well. So if that happens, no worries. Sharon or I, we're the ones who like manage the Instagram page. We'll approve that, and then you could send it right after we do so there. So feel free to do that, and then we might feature you in a future segment of We're Soccer Fans. But as always, keep it appropriate. You want to make sure it's nothing offensive either. Aside from Rep, you suck.
Yeah, I thought you liked to do beepable moments. You know, come on, dude. There's a way you could do a beep.
I guess on the video, I could do it on a video for sure too. Yeah.
I mean, although you just put the censored over their mouth while they're talking and then just, you know.
I do want to say though that my new magic editor, right, what I pass our podcast audio through after I've done the initial edits, has been getting rid of the beep. So if you guys have just heard a random pause, there's probably a beep that should have gone there, but it's been getting rid of it. So just a heads up, that's what's going on when you hear a random pause, but you probably already figured it out when you hear generally Sharon or Jared say it too. I've said it once before. I think one time I was so mad at the ref that I just had to say it, but you know how that goes.
My ears are still hurting from him cursing.
I think I said it a few times too, so I mean that was pretty angry too. I probably should have said it with the 5 minute guy, which by the way his name is what do we say, Alexis Silva, right? Alexis da Silva or something along those lines. But trust me, if we see him for Zach, we'll remember him. We'll remember the 5 minute guy. We'll never forget it. And more like Melvin Rivas status. I don't know if Jared wants to put him there, but I'm putting him there already. So he's a graduate with honors. But the referee in this game this time actually gave the right amount of minutes. So maybe not all the refs are bad.
So is that a hidden galazo of gratitude there to the referee for the right amount of minutes? Or are you going to toss that microphone back over to me?
No, actually, yeah, no. I do want to give a gloss of gratitude to the ref for actually knowing how to count, right? Because I was a little worried. I was starting to think, like, these refs don't know how to count. That's going to be worrisome for the season. But yeah, so that's all I got.
So ditto on everything. You know, wonderful to have Rihanna as a guest. And then, you know, real quick to my trashy friends, Mom for giving me brunch today on St. Patrick's Day, Luis for creating the reels for We're Soccer Fans and coming up with that great idea. They have been so much fun. And thank you for in advance for, you know, getting them posted. And then, you know, of course, for John. And then Jared, your memes are killing me always. Your memes, I love your memes. It's like, sometimes I want to like them, but then I'm afraid if I like them, I don't know what my phone's going to start feeding me. If I like your memes, it's like next thing I know, it's going to try to sell me pot. I don't know, you know, whatever. Cause it can load things. But one thing that stands out from today is the mayor of the city of Elk Grove. I just happened to, after getting my taxes done, just go, you know what? I need a freaking beer because it wasn't good news. And so I popped into Quatsa Brewery And here, I hear my name being called, and I look over and it's the mayor and her husband. And it's like, oh, well, this is cool. And there was a spot next to them at the bar, and they said, join us. Join us. I said, you know, I was going to go here and then there and then this other spot. And they go, oh my God, that's exactly what we were going to do. Why don't we just all do a pub crawl together? I have to thank her because I paid for my first beer, half a green beer. Second beer they paid for at Prost. Third beer I bought the round. So it's like, we're all even. And I got to do a pub crawl with the mayor of Elk Grove. What's not to like about that? That's so much fun. So anyhow, that's my last goals of gratitude. And now we can just get into the nitty gritty of things. If I've forgotten something, I'm sure it'll come up, you know, freaking to the team and to Trevor. Okay, whatever. You know, that goes without saying. Freaking A. Mark, whatever you're doing product-wise, keep it up. It's been fun.
Oh, yeah. No, it's he's been doing great, as usual. Hey, we got most of the team back, right? So it's nice to see them still connecting. And then you guys connecting too, right? I mean, so quick. I don't know who's the one who's scouting all the new players and who's been scouting for recent years, but they got an eye for spotting players who like fit in so quick. Because you remember past years, there were players that they just never really fit in with the team, right? And it's just, we hear complain about them often. But yeah, let's go ahead and talk about the game yesterday at Miami. First time that we play in Miami. We recall last season, that was the team we played against at the end of the season. We beat them, and now we travel over there and we get the win once again. And it feels great to win in Florida, right? We wish we would have done it more in the past. Hey, it's not an easy travel, so great job on the team, because not only did they get the win, but I felt like that we were superior throughout the game. We clearly deserved the win. They had a few opportunities, but again, as I mentioned at the beginning, it seemed like we were at home. The players were really relaxed. I'm sure, I mean, playing the weather maybe didn't make them feel as great, but they were still confident in everything, and they're professionals, right? I mean, they know they can adapt to any situation going on. So
Luis, just to add on to that, one thing I noticed, it felt like our team was at a training session, because it looked, I hate to say this, so I don't want to jinx this for the future, but it looked so easy for them to play their own game. It almost looked like they were training against, I don't know, under 23. What was it? The Portland team, Jared? Anyhow, that's, I don't mean to diss Miami, but the way that we were able to have so much possession and uninterrupted passing. And I mean, it was just like, it was quite amazing what we saw, that it felt like a training game. I don't know what the possession numbers were, but it doesn't matter to me. It just looked like our team was so it out. Even though we only got one goal, we outclassed the other team, right?
I just want to add on to that point. In comparison to the game against Orange County, six of our starters only passed above 80% having a pass accuracy, versus this game where 9 of our starters had a pass accuracy above 80%. The only ones were Trevor Amon, who is our striker. You don't expect him to be the passer, the great passer on the ball, and Danny Vidiello, which he was pretty close at 78.8% passing accuracy.
Yeah, that's a good stat, because yeah, you're right. Usually forwards, I mean, they're not the best passers, but I mean, Trevor's a different person. I don't think we've ever had a player like that. I mean, he's good with the aerial plays. He's good with passing. I mean, I'm sure he's good at shooting as well. So yeah, I mean, Russell's got competition, just like they said in the broadcast too. I mean, they said it in the broadcast, guys. So it wasn't just me. It's, you know, the commentators too. And it wasn't the Miami ones either. I mean, it was Robin Adam, their feed.
It's good that they put them both on the field at the same time, because I'll tell you what, when one is being pressured, or if they're double marking Trevor, let's say, you know, that they're covering Trevor, guess who's open? Guess who was our leading goal scorer last year? Right. Mm-hmm. So they have to pick who they're gonna, you know, put a second guy on. and then it frees up somebody else. Look at Jack's rocket that almost scored. I mean, so there's just this team has. I cannot wait for the next home match. I mean, I can't wait, of course, when we play Memphis next weekend. But this is going to be interesting to see how teams try to unravel us. You know, granted, they'll have to go through the midfield. But as I was saying before the broadcast, Nick Ross in the pocket, dude, is killer. He's incredible back there.
Yeah, it's a shame that rocket didn't go through. I mean, but it's good that the players just keep on shooting, right? That's what we asked for in the last game. And this one, I mean, they had 15 total shots, 7 shots on target. A big improvement from the last game where, you know, a lot of shots weren't even really on target. So I'm glad they're practicing that more. You just got to keep doing that. And I don't know if you guys saw, I think the game happened yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, but Chicago Fire's goal from halfway on the pitch, which, I mean, granted, the wind helped. It was the weirdest goal I've ever seen. But, you know, that's just an example of, like, just shoot. Doesn't matter what minute you're in, especially those final minutes when we're like, do something, guys, like, just start shooting. You just got to shoot. I mean, that's when it comes down to it, you just never know what's going to happen unless you shoot. It could deflect off someone else. Something else can happen there. But I'm glad that they have started to do that more because, you know, Trevor might score aerial goals like that. We're not always going to have aerial opportunities. So, or we might be playing against a team that has a lot of tall guys, which, you know, is often the case. Not so much the case here with Miami, I think, but in other matches there as well. So got to have other alternatives as well there. Before we get to talking about the goal, I want to talk about something that Rian mentioned earlier happened right before the first half ended. And I want to hear what was going through everyone's mind here, because I'm sure you guys are like really tense in this moment. I know I was. I know I didn't know what was going to happen, but Danny V actually stepped up to the moment. And I'm glad that he was back. I'm glad that he's got that Golden Glove energy to him again. But how crazy was it that he did 3 stops, right? One shot, next shot, other shot. And I mean, the other shot, granted, like he did a slight movement and you never know what can happen. Thankfully, the Miami guy wasn't ready to get the ball. It just came out of nowhere. I'm just saying, this is the best like highlight I've ever seen of Danny. What do you guys think? What was going through your head too?
So when I rewatched this, because I was busy yesterday, so I rewatched the whole game today or last night. Everything was amazing. I mean, Danny Vidiolo was a superstar last night. That's why we have him. Mr. Golden Glove, golden knees, golden, I don't care where it hits him in the body. He's our guy. His reflexes, my sister was commenting on this earlier. His eye paw coordination is very cat-like. He sees things we don't normally see, and he sees it quicker, which allows him to do what he did, which you see this in European football, you know, and to actually see it here, you know, our guy doing the same thing. This is just phenomenal. Got to give hands off. Hands, give a hand to this man. Rian.
Yeah, just want to say, if this isn't save of the week, if this isn't save of the month, pick whichever one of these 3 saves. All of them are contenders. Then if it's not that, then the contest is rigged. But Miami up to this point was trying to play the long ball over our back line. I mean, it's good to have the back line that is so responsive and able to come back when needed, as you could see with the first face save with, I believe that was Lee Desmond or Connor Donovan, one of the two, who made that first save. But it's also great to have as big of a safety net that is Danny Vidiello for making just incredible saves and keeping the contest tied going into the half.
Yeah, I say this has to be a co-winner moment for Save the Week. And once again, definitely not discounting Danny's prowess whatsoever. I mean, thank goodness that we do have him, but the whole save train gets started with Connor Donovan and taking one to the face in the style of those BYU sports videos. So first of all, yeah, I gotta say, Connor, please get better soon. You know, put some ice on or something like that, because I know that shot had to have hurt. And Danny, get you some oxygen, you know, like some of those oxygen bar appointments, because not once, not twice, but three times you had to make heart-stopping saves. Both of y'all better get saved of the week. If not, I may have to contact my contacts in Tampa, a.k.a. my cousin.
Yeah, no, in fact, it should probably be save of the season. I'm just going to put it out there now, because those multiple saves in one play, and the minute it happened, it was so critical, right? Had they gone up 1-0, it would have been so difficult for us. I think in the second half would have been a whole different game right there. So it was good. I mean, I'm glad he's back, though. I asked for him in the last game, and I guess the question is now, is he going to be back in the next game, or is coach going to do like a rotation kind of thing? But I think he's going to keep him, hopefully, right? Not that Jared could also do a great job, but I mean, after this game, after getting a clean sheet away, you got to keep giving Denny the chance to keep on being our main goalkeeper, right?
Well, it all depends on how training sessions go, and it also depends on, you know, injuries. There's a lot that's, you know, all of this depends as to who starts what game, because coach literally evaluates everybody for starting roles based on, you know, a lot of factors. Training is one of them. Plus, he's got his other coaches to rely on for input. But, you know, I agree, you know, Danny's Danny, and he was incredible last year. But we get to see how the season unfolds. Connor, good job, Connor, you know, for taking one to the face. But I mean, that's just Connor. He will do that. He will do that. Connor doesn't care what body part, you know. He'll save. He'll go for the save. Oh my God.
It's like, yeah.
Sorry, we're rewatching it. You know, and Jared Timmer's the same way. He'll do that. Remember Lee Desmond, you know, cut his head open. What was it, last year? You know, he cut his head open doing something, you know, clunking his head against something. So, yeah, you know, we've got some pretty tough defenders. Now, I do want to say, if we can move on just a wee bit before we get to see Trevor's goal. I will say I am liking the defensive lineup. I think Lee's fitness, and Lee, I love you to death, and you owe me one, because I saw you got on Cool Will's Instagram shot. So you owe us one. We want to get you on Alive as well. That was so sweet of you. I love you to death. I think your fitness is really improved from last season, for instance. Your reflexes are faster. Okay, I'm speaking to Lee. I should just speak in general to anybody. I've noticed an improvement with Lee. I'm confident in this back line the way it is right now. I'm also confident with Jared. Yeah, Jared slap. You too. And then, you know, the Council of Jared, picking number 5 in particular. And then we have guys that are willing to step in and step up. Remember yesterday, or, you know, at the game last night, Jonathan Ricketts had to start up. He had to get subbed in. He was the striker up top. So that was kind of like, that for me was a bizarro moment. But we have men ready to step up and step in and fill in for any position. But I will say, you ask any of our 3 defenders and our outside wing backs how much they appreciate what Nick did, Nick Ross, the boss, setting there in that pocket. And Rion, what was his pass accuracy in your stats? Do we want to pull that up?
Nick Ross, I have him at 89.7% versus the game against Orange County, and he was at 84.6% for last night's game against Miami.
Oh, wow. So
he's been pretty good lately.
Okay. Now, I know that FOTMOM gave, you know, they give scores. It used to be that last year, Keiko was always the, you know, one of the ones that showed up as higher ranking. Jack Gurr shows as one of the highest rated players on FOTMOM. And then, you know, there's some others that are in there as well with 7.6 ratings. Wondering why Nick Ross wasn't more highly rated by FOTMOB. Can you hit the all players? Yeah, thank you. Okay, so he's got a 7.0 rating from FOTMOB, but I don't like that. You know, I'm inclined. I'm inclined to disagree with AI at this point. Rian, do you think they use AI in FOTMOB?
I wouldn't be surprised seeing the amount of games that FOTMOB covers, but I'm also on the same boat as you, Sharon, where Nick Ross definitely deserves more. He definitely deserves his flowers for his performances so far. Like, coming into the season, I was very doubtful on this midfield. It looked a bit, like, lacking depth, but Nick Ross has definitely stepped up to fill in that hole, and he's been filling up the stat sheet, and he definitely deserves more recognition for that.
Ooh, I'm liking what I hear. So, Luis, I got to ask you a question. I know I'm kind of grabbing the mic, but when I watched that game from yesterday, I actually like Christian Pirano's play. This was a game, and I don't know, Luis, if you and I agree on this point, and I don't know if Rian will agree, but from game to game, I'm watching improvements where Christian seems to know where he's going and what he needs to do to benefit the team and to benefit Jack. What do you guys think before we get on to Trevor's goal?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I think it's a thing that we expect to happen, right? Last season, too, the team went through major evolution, right, from beginning to end. And it's nice to see that, right? It sucks when you see the opposite happen, because, again, we can talk about previous years, right? And I want to say, like, 4 years ago and then beyond that in the past, where we weren't really seeing that, right? It was almost like slight improvement, then we're back down, slight improvement, or maybe just back down, right? Like that one season where we didn't even qualify. But yeah, I mean, Christian has been impressing me. I've been saying it since, you know, I got to see him again in the preseason game. And he was one of those guys that before preseason, I wouldn't have been sad if he would have been traded off or something. And I know he hadn't really been with us for too long, but I'm glad that given the fact that the team gave him the opportunity to come back, he's taken advantage of it, right? Because how many players have we seen the team just be like, all right, we only gave you half a season, on to the next one, right? Move on. And I keep going back to Frankie Lopez because he was one of those that we didn't see much of. He just left, or the team just had him go. So if the coach decided to bring him back, he saw something in him, and I'm glad that, you know, he's been doing that, because he could be a quick guy. You know, he's a short guy. Hey, he's got that Latin America play style, which is always nice to see on the pitch too. So I'm glad that, you know, we got him back and he's giving it his all. And then, yeah, I mean, Nick Ross, you guys have said it better. Yeah, I agree. He should be at a higher rating too. I mean, when we're looking here at all the statistics, he had more chances created than Aldair, more accurate passing in the percentage-wise. And yeah, Aldair, yeah, sure, he has 0.1, 7.1, and, you know, versus that Nick's 7.0, but still. So I don't know what it is that they take into consideration, because in just looking at those numbers, I'm like, Nick Ross should be at a 7.1, so just right off the bat, seeing that, yeah, I think their rating system isn't all that great. But maybe Rian could come up with a new rating system, and we could have ours that is not AI generated, but one that we can all agree more with. Let's go ahead and take a look at the goal. Third goal of the season by our goal scorer, our new leading goal scorer, Trevor Amon. Who else but him, right, to give us another goal? And in now, I guess, new classic fashion by Trevor, right? And just like in an aerial play. But all started midfield with Connor Donovan spotting Nick Ross open, right? I mean, those like Miami players, I think that they weren't really doing their job as well, right? I mean, they left a lot of spaces, and it was great for us, right? Because our players know how to take advantage of that. So spots him open there. Nick gets the ball. He has plenty of time to figure out, what am I going to do with it? And of course, what does he do? He does what we always ask, at least what I always ask when I'm watching a game in person, is give the ball to Jacker, because Jack is open so many times. And I hope they keep doing that, because I mean, we know in the last game, there were a few opportunities that they really should have gone through Jack's side. Because he was open, because he's a fast guy, right? Like, he doesn't think twice. He's ready to make those runs. He's done them before, and sometimes he doesn't get the ball. And I'm sure that annoys the heck out of him. It would for me if I was in his position there. But perfect pass by Nick to Jack. And Jack, what does he do? Hey, he gets a cross ready. And who else but Trevor to put himself in the right place to just header that ball in and to also be just open, right? Again, going back to the whole thing that Miami players, they weren't really marking right. I mean, Trevor's literally walking through, right? He literally doesn't have to do much but just walk through, get to the ball. And even their goalkeeper didn't really do much. I think if it would have been Danny, probably would have stopped it. So, hey, but luckily that wasn't us. Luckily that was them. And he gets the goal. Third goal of the season now for our new, again, leading goal scorer who is going to make a run for that golden boot. And hopefully he does so.
Yeah, because he's on our team. So a couple things to note. You know, you notice that the pass to Nick Ross, you know, who was wide open. Their strikers didn't track back. Their strikers for Miami didn't put pressure on our midfield, or they didn't, you know, they could have, but they didn't. When they lost possession, they didn't turn around to see what else they could do. And that's one of the things that our strikers, I think, do pretty well, is they turn around when possession changes. But if you notice, what foot did Jack use to make that cross? Not his typical foot. He usually crosses with his right. The Miami was probably expecting him to push the ball forward and push it up, you know, the way he usually does, but he didn't. He pushed it back to his left foot, crossed it with his left foot, which puts a whole different spin on the ball. It puts a whole different attribute. Next thing you know, all anybody has to do with the spin that you put on a cross coming off the left foot from the right side, you barely have to breathe on the ball and it'll go in the goal. Well, Trevor made sure he did more than just breathe. He literally did that perfectly executed header. And he knew exactly where to go. Typically, you head it back the way it came. The dude knew exactly where the keeper was. He knew what to do. He didn't. He had the ball back where it came from because he knew all he had to do based on the flight and the trajectory of the ball. And Rian is going to agree with me here, is touch it. And it's going to go in. And he did it. It's perfect. Take the mic.
Yeah. Sorry. I just want to also point out that, like, it was not just Amon that was in the box providing a target, but also, like, our entire front line is right there with him. Pirano and Cicerone were there to, you know, provide backup and provide optional space for Amon. And it's good to see a very dynamic front line that is able to come back to the midfield, but also push forward like that, push forward in groups, push forward as a press, push as a unit. And it shows where Amon can just walk into space and find a goal like that off a great ball by Jack Gar.
That is so correct, because, you know, we're always talking about how you frame the goal as, you know, the attacking squad. You know, you have the front post covered, you have the back post covered, you have, you know, the middle of the penalty box covered. We had it all. We had front post, rear post, and then we also had a trailing runner because Nick didn't stop his run. Nick continued because he knew what was next. It was almost like it was choreographed. So Nick was the trailing, he became the trailing attacking midfielder should the ball have popped out at some point in time, which, you know, wasn't necessary because the ball went the right direction into the back of the net. So framing, this is training. This is where you build the muscle memory. This is what Mark Briggs is having the guys work on, is frame. Because last year, remember, sometimes they had a lapse in framing. Remember, everybody? They kind of had a lapse sometimes in framing the goal on the attack, you know, when the ball was coming in or when the cross was coming in or whatever. So this was classic. I'm glad you brought that up.
Definitely glad that we're finally realizing to finish some of these attacks. I mean, that's something that unfortunately has been a sticking point over the past couple seasons. We get a great opportunity to knock it in and just get denied every chance. And then the other team, they just barely breathe on the ball and it gets in. But this is starting to change, especially with Trevor Amon, you know, on the roster. He's just attacking any chance he gets. And so far, three of them have hit in only the first two games. So this is definitely a great setup. And of course, Jack Gar, you know, excellent assist. I mean, sets everything up beautifully. So this is really all we needed, even with the practically empty stadium. I mean, it was like listening to the match during 2020, 2021. I mean, unfortunately, he had the empty stadium, so you could hear all the players yell out the plays, you know, where to look, everything like that. I mean, it just gave that that feeling. But I don't know, maybe this might be something we want to look into as far as the unsolved mystery, as far as what is going on with Miami FC. I mean, I know they're transitioning away from our friend Joaquin Rivas, you know, having moved his way out west. But still, you got to have something, you know, for the crowd. Well, we'll talk about that later on, but I just wanted to throw that in.
Yeah, actually, I'm good with, you know, talking about it right here now, because it is embarrassing to see a stadium so empty. And of course, I mean, it's because of Inter Miami, right? Because the Miami FC team itself, it's got a long history, right? It used to be in the NASL days, and that Romario, if you guys remember him from Brazil, at one point he even played with them when he was trying to get his like crazy like goal historic like thing too. He was just playing with any team. But they actually have people who go for him, right? But I feel like a lot of people with the new shiny car, right? Like they decided to go to that dealership, go get themselves that new shiny car, and really didn't really care about the team that they supported before, which is a shame. Because I always think you got to support your team. It doesn't matter what other team is happening and all that. But yeah, I mean, FOP Mob, I think, is extremely generous with their attendance count of 1,044.
They're counting the staff. Dude, they're just counting the coaches, the staff, and the players, because they're literally, I think that's what they had to do. They had to count, you know, the 50 people that were there or more to support. Maybe they're counting the front office. I bet they're counting the front office, right? There's no way there were 1,000 people. Seriously. Absolutely.
And this kind of touches on some recent news with Central Valley Fuego, just to kind of bring them into the mix. Now, I do understand that Fresno State is working on some features in the stadium, and thus until May or so, they're having to limit their capacity down to 1,000 people. This Miami crowd does not look like 1,000. It doesn't even look like 100. I mean, I went to a Red Bulls tube match a couple years ago. There were more fans at that match than there were in Miami.
Oh, yeah, I remember that match. Yeah, there were definitely more fans, too. Yeah, I mean, the stadium is too big for them. They probably should. I mean, I guess they're not going to move stadiums, but it's just something that I feel like USL HQ should take a look at, because it doesn't look good on them to have a stadium that's like that.
And or like just I mentioned, the cameras on the other side. Rian, what do you have to say? Yeah. I know you've been itching to say something about this dang crowd.
I mean, I don't have something to say on this crowd in particular, but I just want to give a shout out to Rhode Island for coming into the USL with a bang and selling out their crowd. And it just looks good for a team to come in with a supporter group like that, even though there was a giant hole on the broadcast that was just like blocking the view. But it's still great to see a team like Rhode Island come in with a great amount of support and filling out their stadium.
Yeah, and FOP Mob actually says about 5,252 in attendance at that Rhode Island game. So yeah, I mean, that's a perfect market. That's what I was just going to say right now with Miami FC. USL should consider relocating them. And I know I dropped it in the group chat. I think maybe two good options. There might be, I'm sure, like a few more out there too, but one would probably be Tallahassee. Bring a team there.
Well, let's also remember USL is working on Jacksonville.
Yeah, Jacksonville's one that they have there. But another one, the name escapes my mind right now, but there's another city.
Fort Lauderdale also had a historic football team a while back.
Yeah, the Strikers. The
Strikers, yeah.
So yeah, that's a now Fort Lauderdale is actually really close to Miami. I believe that's where Inter Miami is playing right now.
Oh,
so yeah, because that's the first team that's the first team that came to mind. But with that, which sucks, because it is a team that has its own history and all that. But unfortunately, yeah, I couldn't really see it there. Another one could be Bradenton. Bradenton has I believe it's the IMG Academy, where a lot of like players that have gone on to national team have played at. So I'm just saying there's other options around there that you could consider for teams. If you want to keep a team there, because I agree Florida's big, get another team, but you need to take them to markets where there's nothing else. And we'll get more people than Miami for sure. Guaranteed. I don't care who it is, right? More than the not 1,000 people, more than the, I don't know, is 50 too generous? Maybe that might be generous. We're just talking fans. Like, or like Sharon said, maybe flip the camera around. Maybe that's, maybe there's more people behind the camera.
All the fans are off camera. That's what's happening here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or as wrestling fans like myself say, it's the hard cam side. It's a hard cam side.
Well, here's another idea for another city that I remember now, the one that was skipping my mind, Daytona, right? I mean, Daytona, we know they do the famous Daytona 500. You got people coming down for that, and I'm sure, again, it's a little long ways out from, like, other teams, too. At least it's not in Miami. I guess anywhere else but Miami is the place that they should move the team to. And I'm sorry for the Miami FC fans. We mean no, like, disrespect, but it's just when you're not going to your games, when you're not seeing that, it's just, it sucks, right? I mean, it wasn't a away match, you know, for us to go to. But we're looking out for the entire league, as we always do. And we want to see fan bases from other teams also grow. And it just seems like it's not going to go anywhere here. So,
yeah, we do not want to see another RGVFC happen. I mean, that's the worst thing we could see happen as far as this goes. I mean, we know about RGV's marketing or lack thereof that really nailed the coffin in for that club. So we just hope that nothing like that happens again. But with Miami's attendance, I'm not sure if it was either the weather or maybe if it is the shiny new toy at the other club. We don't want to see Miami suffer the same fate as RGBFC.
Yeah, hopefully not. But that's how the game ended. 1-0. At least, you know, we were able to hear our team celebrate with no booze whatsoever. So that was the plus. In an empty stadium and getting to experience hearing everything that goes on in a game while you're watching it on TV too. So maybe people can get that match day experience without being there at the stadium. But 1-0 again, first win of the season. Really glad that we got it now. Last week, we know it was just a few seconds away, but either way, we are still undefeated in what is week 2. Of USL. And again, we are expecting that the Danny Vidiello stops be save of the week. And so just be ready because we might have to vote for that as well. But that'll likely be in the running for that. I hope that there's no other better ones. I couldn't see there being any other ones that would be as close to this one here. But yeah. One more thing. I'm glad Jared mentioned it earlier, but there is that situation going on with Central Valley Fuego. Want to just quickly mention that I think that they maybe should have planned that out a little bit better, maybe beforehand, because it is a shame that they have to limit to 1,000 fans in attendance because of the situation. And they're going to have to do so for, I believe, mid-May or somewhere around May, I think is what Fresno State committed to. Still, if you knew there was going to be something, that should have probably happened before, right? I mean, we want to get more people out to games and, you know, it just means a lot for a team to get, especially when you're looking at League One teams to get, you know, higher attendance. So it sucks to have a limitation placed on them.
Well, part of that could be they also have to partner with the NCAA. I mean, given the fact that it is a NCAA venue, so they may have had to wait a certain time after, say, NCAA football got completed. They may have had some other regulations as well in place of that. So, I mean, this may have been the best time for them to do it. But at least Fresno State has given Central Fuego their word that they are planning to have that construction done by May, because they know, you know, the Fuego have a bit of a season ahead of them. So far, they've been looking pretty decent, you know, with the recent changes in the roster. I know it could definitely have been a lot better if we had our podcast magic there, but either way, you know, Fuego's doing good. You know, they're early in the season. Hopefully we can see them in the playoffs this year for USL League One. So fingers crossed that things get better for Fuego all around.
Yeah, just want to also jump in and say, I don't know when this podcast goes up, but Fuego does play against Folsom in the first round of the Open Cup at Folsom. So, you know, if you're in for the Open Cup, go and support every single round of it. Go and support every game. Go show that you know, are for the Open Cup. I'm not going to be there just saying that as well, but, you know.
I won't be there either. I'll be in a meeting for my neighborhood that night. Otherwise, I would be up there in a heartbeat to go cheer us on and to support the Open Cup. I mean, the Open Cup debacle with MLS clubs, and it's just insane. Hopefully we can heal this and get past it. But yes, we have to support the Open Cup.
Definitely wish on Sacramento County that on Wednesday, just specifically for that match. I mean, like Rian and Sharon said, if you can, go out there, support the U.S. Open Cup matches. Doesn't matter if you haven't even heard the club, club's name or whatever, but if you can and you have a match in your area, go and support it. This is the first round. You know, these smaller clubs are going to need this support to move up. So, I mean, it's a great chance to also see the Fuego and also Folsom head-to-head. You get to see it at Folsom Lake College. I'm sure we haven't seen a whole lot of soccer games over there, but think of it as a, not really a neutral site, but a good way to see teams other than the ones in the first and the second tier. You know, see those grassroots teams. See how well they do.
Yeah, and see if maybe there might be a player or two that Czech Republic could maybe sign in the summer, maybe next season, whenever that might be, because that's where the players all start out. And FC Folsom is from UPSL, so UPSL against League One should be a good matchup. 7 p.m. is the start time for that game this Wednesday. So, yeah, I mean, if you're in the area, go check them out. And as everyone here has been saying, support the Open Cup, because we want that tournament to be with us for another 100 years. Keep it going just as long as we can, because you don't really have that in professional sports here in this country. You know, it's all about that first, like, division for any other sport, and for soccer to have that is still something amazing that we can say makes us stand out over any other sport. And they're really fun to watch too. I mean, you just never know what's going to happen. You have the cup sets. I mean, Fuego, of course, is the strong favorite in this match, but you never know. Folsom could pull a surprise and, you know, get the win. They are at home. Fuego's going to do quite the travel to make it out to Folsom. So anything can happen there. And plus, we might be playing against one of these two teams. We'll see what the draw like shows us afterwards, but there's a high likelihood that we might be playing against the winner. So as Czech Republic fans, it's in our best interest to keep an eye out for this game, because we might get a matchup against one of these two once we play our Open Cup game, our first Open Cup game, which will be sometime in April. I don't know if any of you has the date on that. I had it written down somewhere, but I don't have it handy right now, but sometime in April.
I thought it was May, but if it's April, it's somewhere between the 12th and the 14th.
Okay. It might be sometime around there. I could be wrong, but I think it is April.
Yeah, third round does start in May. Yes.
Okay. So it is May. Okay.
Yeah. May 12th or 14th. Yeah.
Okay.
That's roughly usually when we start. So while we're talking clubs, we haven't talked about much in the on the women's side or anything like that. But while we wait for, you know, the local women to start playing, just FYI, the Northern California NWSL team, Bay FC, beat Angel City today. So I just wanted to give a shout out to our brand spanking new pro women's soccer team, you know, that has some roots here in Sacramento. I mean, Brandi Chastain has always come to Sac Republic matches, you know, to talk about different things, and, you know, with the Olympics coming up and all that other. But anywho, just FYI, Northern California got a win. Woohoo!
Nice, especially for a new team to get a win, right? It's always tough, right, when you have a new team that has never really played together in a league game. And yeah, so glad to see that. Always awesome when Bay Area teams beat LA teams, because, you know, we're feeling a part of them, even if, you know, we're not in the Bay, but it's still Northern California. So
Northern California, got to give them a shout out. But yeah, so yeah, the rest of, I mean, like our clubs that we follow, the USLW, they don't start their season until May. And I was going to do a reveal, Luis, for us to post on our timeline, because I got some swag from the Storm. And I was so appreciative of that. I haven't been able to get out and watch certain things from Iron Rose, you know, like their open tryouts and things like that. But hopefully I'll be able to get a chance to do that, because it's relatively nearby. Not too nearby. Not as convenient as the Storm, California Storm. But we can't wait to see the club start their, you know, campaign this season, and we wish them well, but I will be doing a swag reveal that we can post.
Oh, nice. I'm glad to hear that. But yeah, they're our USLW teams, Academica, Stockton Cargo, and Cal Storm. They start in May, but Academica and Stockton Cargo are both actually going to host their first match, which will be on May 4th and May 5th. So May 4th for Academica, May 5th for Stockton Cargo. And I think just some matches to be on the lookout for, matches between them. Cal Storm plays against Academica on May 22nd, and then Academica plays against Stockton Cargo on the 10th. This one they play, yeah.
Also, while we're looking at the schedule, let's not forget Iron Rose FC is joining the fold out of Roseville this season. So they're going to be another team to keep an eye out for. They just recently had a signing, as well as a meet and greet. Plus also Max Alvarez, who's a familiar name with Republic FC fans. He is one of the coaches for Iron Rose FC. So that's going to be another team to look out for. But I cannot wait. And of course, we're going to try as we can. No guarantees. We want to try to get all four teams on a podcast prior to the season, just to see how everyone measures up. So, I mean, that's what I would like to see anyways, but you know, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, we're going to try our best actually next month, as you know, we'll be a month away from their first game, or the first week of games, right? In the first week of May, to actually have the president of each club and actually some players as well. So be on the lookout for that. We're going to see if we can get all four of the presidents, or actually, no, never mind, all three of the presidents, right? We're talking Academica, Stockton, and Cal Storm, to be back on a podcast, just like last season, right? We know the bench they had going on back and forth. So we're going to try and get them all on the same podcast show again to talk about each of their teams, as well as, again, maybe have some of the players too. So we can get a preview of that home opener match that each team will have. And if you guys can make it out to a game, please make it out to as many games as you can. Academica, as we mentioned, they play in Sherlock. Really awesome field in the middle of a lot of different agricultural fields. Like, it is Central Valley right there. But let me tell you, their pitch is like amazing. So shout out to their groundskeeper, because they do a better job than a lot of stadiums too. So really great place to watch a soccer game. And then Stockton Cargo is not going to be playing in Delta College this year. They're actually going to be playing over out at UOP, which also has an awesome campus and field as well. So really excited for them to be playing over there and to go watch a game there as well. And then, of course, Cal Storm will continue to play at Davis Legacy Fields, which I haven't had the chance to go to yet. Sharon's gone. And I think, Sharon, you say it's a good pitch as well, right? And like plenty of parking. Absolutely. Free parking, right, is what stands out.
Free parking. Yes. And so as we all know, Cal Storm plays in both the WPSL and the USLW. So Iron Rose is in the WPSL. And Luis, mark me if I'm wrong, but I don't know that Academica and Stockton Cargo are also in the WPSL. I'm not 100% sure about that. I know that they're in the USLW league. So
yeah, only in USLW. Yeah, not in.
Yeah, so Cal Storm is doing double duty, essentially playing, but their schedule hasn't come out yet.
Yeah,
2024.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned WPSL too, because you also have FC Davis in the area, Iron Rose, as Jared mentioned, and Fresno Freeze as well. So pretty interesting name, by the way, Fresno Freeze, and then you got Central Valley Fuego. So I like what they have going on right there, right? Fuego Freeze. So there are more
opposites
teams.
Attract.
Right, yeah. So check them out. There's going to be plenty of soccer going on in the summer, as we say every year. And if you can make it out, even if it's just one game, be out there, support them, buy their merchandise, and help these teams out, because these teams are, you know, helping create the next generation of players that move on, right? I mean, you hear all those stories with national team players and players that end up playing at the top level. Here's where they start, right? No one just moves on there.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. So are we prolonging the... Yeah, we are. You know what's next. You know what's next.
I am excited over our next segment. And I think you guys are prolonging it too. I think you guys are like trying to not even get to it. You're like, maybe we're just not even going to talk about it. And then we're set, which I would be good. I mean, if you just want to end the competition here, I'm just saying, I'm good.
No, because Rian's on my side, and eventually he's going to be my guest picker, you know, when we get proxies. So I claim him first. All right.
Oh, okay. Pressure's on.
But he's going to do his own, you know, just for fun. He's going to do his own this time. Rian, before we get into this, is there anything else you'd like to add in the gestalt of soccer that we've been talking about so far that we've missed?
Not really, but I just want to touch in a little bit. It's just cool to see that there's so many women's teams and teams in general in the area just harvesting out like the talent, and like it's just cool to see that there's so many more teams on the way as well. So yeah, just cool to see.
Very cool.
Yeah, we got the USL Super League that is going to start in August too, right? I know they had a little delay. It was supposed to start, I think, last year and all that. So yeah, it's really awesome. It's just really great to see the sport grow so much more, especially in our area. All these teams, yeah, all the great rivalries. But yeah, moving on, podcast winner dinner competition here in this game in Miami. Sharon and I did really good. Actually, we all got points in this one, which is great. I mean, we all like when we get points. It just helps make it more competitive when we look at the standings too. But both Sharon and I got 2 points, and we both got them thanks to the fact that Trevor scored the first goal, and that Czech Republic got the first yellow, and then Jared got his point because Jack had the assist. So points for everyone. So our standings are as follows. I have 4 points, and Sharon and Jared both share 2 points. So things are looking good. Let's keep it going like that. Let me keep getting points so I can get that tape dispenser trophy back here with a tape on it, and me actually get to use it.
Yeah, but once you use up the tape, it's over, dude. No, you can replace the roll.
Yeah, I have plenty. Actually, I bought a box of rolls already and waiting.
So you're ready?
Yeah, I'm ready for it. Yeah, I have a box of rolls.
You're so funny. I'm ready for it. What a goober! But you know, you're our goober, so we're good with that.
So
I got finally on the board because I got 0 last time, so I'm finally on the board, and I'm a happy girl.
Oh, yeah. Finally on the board. It's good. Yeah. I mean, I enjoy this competition as much as I want to win. I want to win, but I want to win by 1 point because there's nothing like that. Like drama, right? There's nothing like that. Last minute win. Like
you just got the massive eye roll from Jared. That was not just an eye roll. That was a head tilt eye roll.
I didn't even see it.
Oh, my God. You should rewind. Yeah. He's not going to replay that one. But yeah.
I could go back and look at it on the Zoom recording, but let's go ahead and give our prediction against the Indy 11. That's our next game. And again, a 4 p.m. start time, y'all. So again, if you have plans made Saturday evening, great, because you can watch a game early. So for those of you who like that, perfect. You can actually watch it. Or if you're like Sharon, you'll be somewhere and you'll be watching it on your phone. Just like I think we've all experienced that whenever you're out at an event, everyone's kind of doing their thing, and you're like, wait, give me a sec. I need to watch the game too. Or at least catch as much as you can while you're at it there. But given our predictions against Indy 11, against Corn Cob FC, as another way of calling them. So Indy, we know that they're a tough team. Actually, you guys could correct me if I'm wrong. I might be wrong because I'm trying to figure out where he's at. I need to probably check. Is Dougie still with Indy, or did he already leave?
Yeah, he is.
Oh, okay.
He is, and in fact, he had a funny little goal celly this past week as well. I mean, he pulled the "oh, I'm hurt," and just to do a dance a bit. So, he is alive and well in Indy, and we wish him luck, but not too much luck this weekend.
Yeah, again, according to his stats, it looks like he had 30 games to play with them, 4 goals. Not sure if it was just last season or if they're counting that goal that you mentioned as well there. So not as great, right? But he's almost at like the goal count he got with us, which was 5 goals. But still, you never know when he's going to score, right? I mean, that's how goal scorers are. You might not score in 20 games, but he might score against us. So we're going to have to watch out, especially if he just scored a goal as well. But
Well, and he's good buddies with a few of the guys that are still in the squad. So hopefully we don't go easy on them because of that.
Yeah. We're speaking to you, Roro. Like, I know you and him are like best buds,
they're good buds. Yeah. So I will go first this time since I have not gone first.
Okay.
Okay. Is that sound about right?
That sounds good. So we don't say the same one, or we might still say the same prediction. We'll see.
Well, I wrote mine down. Remember how we started to do it last year?
Yeah.
Down.
I have mine written down too. I wrote it down before we started recording. So.
Okay. So I'm not giving us much in the way of goals. So, excuse my voice. The scoreline is 1-0. Us, Sac Republic, is going to win again. I have Trevor scoring with Russell. If Trevor's not playing, then Russell. And then I'm going to go with what Jared said last week, with Jack being, as much as I want Nick, I'm using Jack, but I really want it all there, but I'm going with Jack because it's sensible as my assist. First yellow is Sac.
All right. Well, I'll go next here. I say Sac winning 2-1. First goal scorer, Trevor. If he doesn't see the pitch, then I am going to go with Roro because I think he's like overdue a goal already. I hope he gets it too, but we'll see there. And then assist, I'm going to go with Jack again because I didn't go with Jack last time. He got the assist last week, but I did go with him the first time, so I hope I'm not jinxing him there. And then first yellow card for Sac.
And these are all first goals, like who's going to score the first goal, who's going to score the first or have the first assist. We don't care about. If we score 5 goals, fine. It's only the first goal that we're talking about.
Yeah. All right, Jared.
All right. I'm going to sound emboldened here, but I'm going to say 3-1 Republic take the win. First goal, I know it's starting to become a trend, but I'm going to have to go against the trend. I'm going to say Jared Timmer for the goal, but more than likely that may not happen. So I'm going to say Trevor for my backup, and an assist, I am going with Nick Ross. And then backup is Jack Gurr. I mean, they're just that assist full, you know, the both of them. And then first yellow, I am going to say Indy takes that.
All right. Oh.
All right. How about you, Rian?
Okay. Well, there isn't much to go off in terms of stats against Indy for Sacramento. We only have one match played against them, and that was last year with a 3-1 victory at home. So I'm going to go with Russell Cicerone, who scored. Oh, shoot. I should give a scoreline, too. I'll go 2-1 Sacramento.
Woo!
Yeah, Russell Cicerone scored a hat trick last time around, and maybe he just likes something against Indy, how they play. Maybe he'll find something. Backup scorer, might as well go with the hot hand of Trevor Amon. First assist, I bet on Nick. He's been looking good lately. He has an eye for finding out the right pass. I'll pick him, and first yellow will go to Sac.
Look at this. I love this spread. You know, we got Jack Nick, Tricky Nick, because that's what his nickname is now for me. Instead of, well, I still call him Nick Ross the Boss, but lately he's been Tricky Nick.
Hey, that's interesting. It's a good one.
Yeah. Interesting your choice of Russell based on your rationale of the stats from last year. Mm-hmm. So that would be dandy if it, in fact, yeah, that would be dandy.
That's his last week too, Russell has. So that's what I was saying previously. You know, I think Russell's going to come in pissed. He's going to go in there and just take it all out against Miami. I mean, he had some great chances. So maybe he'll do the same against Indy 11 this coming weekend. We'll see.
Hopefully, yeah, I think he needs it to get that confidence up and just give us more goals, right? I mean, Trevor's been doing his part. We need to see Russell on the scoreline again. And just to prove everyone wrong, to prove me wrong, that, you know, it doesn't matter what hairstyle you have, you can still score goals, right? So go at it, man. Like, don't worry. I think, you know, whenever we talk about hairstyles, it's just a hairstyle. It's nothing else but that. Like, you can still score goals with with any hairstyle you have.
You mean without a man bun?
Well, yeah, without that. So he's got it, and I think it's only a matter of him scoring the first goal, and then we're gonna see the Larusso from last season, because goal scorers, we know they go sometimes through like dry spells, right, where they just can't score, but then once they get that goal, they're just on fire, right? So, and that's what we're seeing with Trevor, right? He got his goals and now he's getting another one, so the confidence is up there. So let's get Russell there and hopefully he gets it's a goal, but hopefully not the first one, he can get the second one.
Ah, you're fine.
or for Sharon, I mean, for you it'd be good, right, if Trevor doesn't make the trip out there. So awesome, good luck everyone. Let's see how it changes. But once again, we differ in the yellow card, so there will be a guarantee of points to be given out, which is always a nice thing. And Jared switching from Sharon's choice, we're gonna see a tiebreaker happen. So it'll for sure, right? If no nothing else, that'll happen. So could be wise on Jared's part. We'll see who the referee is announced to be and what, but it definitely won't be Elton Garcia again, right? Or five minute guy. Or I couldn't see that. It'd be kind of weird to get a ref you just got or a ref you just got 2 games ago, unless they're in a shortage or something. But
we'll find out on Tuesday.
Yep. At this point, I think we may need to have Walgreens or CVS sponsor John's refereeing updates on Tuesday, because Lord knows we're going to need them, especially if we see certain names that pop up on there, like Melvin Rivas or Elvis. Elton, he's gotten a little better, but the season's early. But nonetheless, Tuesday arrives soon.
Yeah, I wonder if, you know, we joke around a lot about Melvin Rivas here on the podcast. And is he still refereeing this season? Or is there like confirmation that he's still around? Or
he was last year.
Okay, he might still be somewhere. It would be so funny if we had him on the podcast, y'all. Oh, that'd be something else. I don't know. Referees probably can't be on podcasts, I'm sure, doing interviews in general, but how funny would that be? I'm there and Jared could host that one. We'll have Jared do a one-on-one interview there.
Depends on how many beeps you want. You know, it's going to sound like a sign-off screen from back in the day, you know, when TV stations would play the national anthem and just go to color bars and all you hear is that's pretty much what that interview is going to sound like.
It won't be any family-friendly words at all. All right, well, last but not least, we have, as we mentioned here, we have Rian with us, and he has a really amazing spreadsheet that he's developed with stats that we all can follow throughout the season, because, again, FOTMob is just AI that is not accurate, or not as accurate, right, as like it could be. So, Rian, if you just want to let us know a little bit more about like how you got started with that and just all your plans with the stats and what people can find in that spreadsheet.
Yeah, so this spreadsheet started with my friend Eli, who I mentioned earlier. He had a like spreadsheet for like his FUTMOB like stats and all that. So I was like, why don't we just do that for, you know, tracking in real time, tracking, you know, the Republic. So that's how I got started. I started doing that last season. I tried to like pilot it and I enjoyed doing it. So I've brought it over to this season with more stats, more in-depth coverage. So yeah, I'm not the one that creates the numbers. I only pull the numbers from the USL website and from their stat tracking, like how they do it in the match centers. But I try and do it in a way where it's more easy to read for anybody who wants to like, who's like interested in this kind of thing. So yeah, you can find it in my Google spreadsheet. I usually put it in my stats recaps, or I usually will post it once in a while where you can like click it and save it to your Google like portfolio. I forget what it's called. Google Docs.
Google Docs.
Yeah. So yeah, you can find like USL like stats, Open Cup stats, scoring summaries. You can find like trackers on how each referee does against Sacramento, for Sacramento, or against Sacramento, stuff like that. It's just cool to see all the numbers and all the stats visualized like this. And I enjoy doing it.
I love it.
Yeah, I've seen that spreadsheet a few times, you know, like, you know, getting updated and everything like that. I would liken it to John Morrissey. I know that's going to be a big claim, but with all the information that's being processed at ready at will, I mean, it is a great resource. I mean, just to see all this stats, you know, sorting out scenarios, how we've done against certain teams, referees and their officiating against Sacramento, things like that. I mean, there's a plethora of information on the spreadsheets, and I got a feeling we're going to be using it a lot more here. I mean, there's just so much to play with as far as information-wise on this.
It's totally amazing. I wish you all could see what we're looking at. However, on our group Facebook page, it is now a pinned post. So anytime Rian updates it, all you have to do is refresh your Google Docs and it'll refresh all the information that's stored in there. So thank you.
Oh, yes. About updating, I will usually update it either the day after if it's a like 7 p.m. start or the day of if it's like an East Coast start. For example, the game against Miami and the game against Indy, I will update later on in the day. And I usually have a little bar that says when it was last updated.
I love it.
Yeah, no, it's a super detailed tool. Amazing spreadsheet, like looking at the referee section here now. So 5 minute guy is actually Alexis Da Silva. That's the new Melvin Rivas for me. And so it's really cool. So anytime, especially as the season goes on, if you want to just go back and glance at how a referee has done for us, if we've got any reds because of this ref, if they just love to hand out cards, like they're just giving away free candy at Halloween, then you can actually see that here because it goes into detail on how many cards both Sac has gone and the opponents and the matches that that ref has actually done for us. So this is really great, Rian. I know John is probably going to be like referencing this a lot when he gives us his referee report that he does in our group chat that we have to find out who the next referee is too. So, and along with anyone, again, if you're going to a game, if you love stats, if you want to impress your friends at the next fan gathering, just open the spreadsheet and you'll find plenty of stats that you can impress and just, you know, tell everyone more about how the team is doing and all that too. So awesome stuff here. We're definitely going to be referencing this quite often as we record the podcast each week here and all that. So yeah, thanks for having a tool like that. And you have a spreadsheet with like every single game right here already. So it's all already there, y'all. If you want to go back and reference anything, if you go to a game and you want to look at what the stats were, it's all there. So there you have it. And thanks to Sharon for pinning that on the Facebook group, Sacramento Soccer Fans, which if you haven't joined that group, you might be missing out on a lot of things because a lot of things get shared on there. But we personally, I mean, Sharon shares a lot of things going on. Jared shares a lot of memes there. I share whenever we have new episodes of the podcast or if we have something else to announce for the show. But you're welcome to share anything you have to share on there, whatever it is. Or if you have a question about game day experience, anything, or if you're looking for tickets, whatever, ask it there. That's your place right there. And shout out to all 518 members that are on that group. We want to keep growing that group. Let's get to 1,000 and invite your friends to join as well. There's a lot of helpful resources there and a lot of amazing people who are willing to, you know, respond to your question or just comment on anything that you have going on. So there you go. All right. Well,
excellent. It's been so cool having Rian on.
Yeah, with that being said, last final parting words. Let's go around before we say goodnight here. And we'll start first with our special guest, Rian, which again, thank you for being on here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's always fun talking soccer. You can find me at Olive's Quail on Twitter or whatever that platform is called now. I have no idea what that platform is called nowadays. And olivesquail.com is my website. There I like to post match recaps, stats recaps, and a bunch of other like little like analysis pieces that I like to do. Yeah, it's been great being on this podcast and looking forward to doing it again.
And of course, he can also be found on Discord as well. I've seen him on a couple servers. So if you're like me, you know, constantly on Discord, you know, catch him there as well. You know, say what's up, you know, give him. Thanks for all that he's doing with All Is Quail and that tracker as well. Once again, thank you very much for sharing that with us. So
yeah, it's no good use of having all this information and not putting it out there. So it's fun to like have it out in the open for everyone else to use.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So my last words are Lee Desmond, you owe us a jump on. And anybody else who wants to jump on, just give us a nod, give us a little tag, give us a little heart emoji somewhere along the line. And don't forget to sacksoccerpod.com if you want to leave us any kind of a message. And then if you want to send us, as Luis mentioned earlier, if you want to send us an episode of your own for We're Soccer Fans, and just DM us on either our Facebook Messenger or on Instagram and send us your video. And Luis knows how to beep them out if you swear.
All right. Well, two down and so many to go. You know, looking forward to seeing us take on Indy. And then also I'm hearing that some folks might have seen a cryptic video come across from our podcast, State of Republic. I'm hearing there might be an update soon, sometime, maybe this week, who knows, but there shall be an update. And go Republic.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. Just so everyone knows, I have no idea what's going on. So if anyone tries to send me a message or ask me, like, what is that message about? It's a surprise to you and me. So I will find out. I'm excited to find out what Jared and Sharon have planned. Yeah, it looks really fun. Shout out to Jared for making that video.
Don't bring me into this. Don't bring me into this. I don't know what that is.
Oh, you don't Sharon know.
No, Sharon is not in this. Sharon is not in this. Luis is not in this.
No.
So there's only one person you gotta look to, and even then,
you never know.
Exactly.
Well, all right. Well, we're looking forward to what this is, and I like surprises too. So it'll be really interesting to find out what will be happening in May. Is what the announcement is saying there too. I just want to say one thing right now, because Sharon's cat made an appearance here on the camera. And I don't know if it's ever been mentioned here on the podcast, but if anyone loves cats as much as Sharon does, where can people follow your cat's Instagram page, Sharon? I think that needs to be mentioned. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it's Carly and Pasha, Carly dot, I don't know. It's on Instagram, Carly and Pasha. I haven't posted anything in a while because I've been so dang busy doing other things. And right now, there's a takeover happening. Whoops. Well, it just happened. I have two cats. One just knocked the other out of the cat tree that's right next to the desk, and the bigger one won that battle. Yeah. So I'll hopefully post something new soon and go Republic.
Well, my last final parting words here. We might not be getting a home match next weekend. I don't know. I don't know why they do two away matches, especially two consecutive away East matches. Just more travel for the guys. I don't even know if they'll stay in the area. They might be coming back and forth. So it'll be a difficult game against Indy 11 still. They've had close games in these last two games. So we'll see what goes on. But wishing the guys the best. Best of travels as usual. And hopefully we get some more goals. And hopefully Trevor just keeps scoring more goals so we can take over that golden boot at the end of the season. And we could see a top goal scorer, I think, for the first time in our history, which would be amazing for us to not only get the golden glove, but actually get the golden boot winner as well. Well, everyone, have a great morning or night, whenever you might be listening to us. And you'll hear us next week here on State of the Republic podcast.
You know, I want to say play that funky music, but I'm going to just say play whatever I usually say. Play the music. Cue the music.
Yeah. Okay.
Right now I am showing the cats, so you guys get the entertainment value of the big cat trying to smack the little cat. So, oops. Battle's on.
Oh, they're making an appearance after all. There you go.
They are.
It can't be an episode without the cats making an appearance, so we got the podcast cats ready to...
All right. Well, it's about time for me to go so I can go break up a fight. Luis is trying to find the off button.
I muted myself.
That counts, right?
Like, where's the off button, Luis?
Here it is. They need to make it. They need to put it in the main Zoom bar. I'm just saying this whole, like, got to click around. Or I need to memorize the keyboard shortcut.